This is Artistic Director Martha Levy, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Audio Program.
Steppenwolf Theatre Company presents the Brother-Sister Plays, written by Terrell Alvin McCraney, directed by ensemble member Tina Landau, featuring Alana Arenas, Philip James Brannan, Roderick Covington, Glenn Davis, K. Todd Freeman, Aura Jones, Jeff Parker, Tamberla Perry, Jacqueline Williams. Letter from Director Tina Landau. I often think of a play as born with a writer who puts it in the hands of a director, who turns it over to the actors, who then give it to an audience. From a play to a production to a performance, like a gift passed through and shared among a community. Indeed, the word community derives from the Latin cum, meaning together or among each other, and munus, meaning gift. A community, then, could be that which gives among each other, finds what is common to all or many. The brother-sister plays are about a community, and in their doing, they also create one, between me, Terrell, and Steppenwolf, and then, too, with our actors, and finally, too, with you. This action, bringing disparate elements together to discover or forge a oneness, is at the core of all of Terrell's work for me. For instance, sources. Terrell embraces the old and the new in equal measure. He writes from his own experience, but then refracts it through other sources, cultures, and histories, or vice versa, from Greek and Roman mythologies to West African cosmologies to Shakespeare and street slang and popular music. When I first asked him about contrasting African drumming with some hip-hop music in one of his plays, he said, "Why? They're the same. The one lives on in the other. That's what interests me." So in his plays, we witness the ways in which the gods of the Yoruba religion walk today in the projects of Louisiana. We hear how the meters of classical verse reverberate in contemporary urban vernacular. Past and present exist simultaneously. Which is why I think Terrell sets his plays in the distant present. Distant, as only the past or future can be, and present, as only today can be. Maybe that's why sometimes people are unsure whether these plays take place in a real or mythical time, whether it's ancient Africa or pre-Katrina New Orleans, or... The answer is yes. And. Terrell has created a world of his own invention by finding the synthesis in many others. Growing up in the projects of Miami, exposed to an intense cultural brew of the Southern, Haitian, Brazilian, European, African, and more, Terrell has described his work as layered in the way that America is. He also told me once that the plays occur in a place fertile with ghosts. Approach. Terrell and I both treasure foremost the liveness of theater. What is the most immediate, spontaneous, or transitory in the event? We believe that theater is what happens here, in this exact moment, between this particular audience and these particular performers on this particular night. And so our work together embraces ways to help us remember and exploit that. In these plays, we're not interested in creating a room that you peer into to observe human behavior from a distance, as much as we're interested in breaking that fourth wall and establishing a playing space that includes you. The actors are storytellers and will speak what sound like stage directions. There are various reasons for this, a primary one being to remind us we're all part of a storytelling tradition that stretches from the most ancient tales told around a fire to the most modern or even experimental forms of story theater. The actors both become their characters and remain outside them to tell their stories to you. They never forget that they are actors in this theater with you. They will speak to you, look at you, and hope that you will look, and perhaps even talk back if you see fit. Really, feel free. Our goal is not to alienate, but to invite, engage, meet. As Robert McKee has said, stories are the currency of human contact. Purpose. Terrell believes theater can change lives. He will tell you that theater not only changed, but saved his. Growing up in the projects himself, Terrell was first exposed to theater by going into halfway houses and drug prevention centers to tell stories through drama. The subjects of the stories were the same as his audience, people in trouble, in need, in invisibility. During these early days, Terrell learned firsthand the redemptive power of theater, and he's never forgotten it. For him, theater is all about the people, the audiences, the kids. Every day he asks how theater can reach into communities, grab hold of people who don't usually like or go to the theater, impact their lives. Terrell will never miss the chance for a talk back with an audience. He will always ask theaters to set up trips for him to visit schools. He will go out to neighborhoods and canvass the streets, the parks, the clubs to get people to come into the theater. For him, it is all about the connection, the community. The plays. In a way, the three plays in this trilogy function much like what I've described above, distinct entities, whole in themselves, yet gaining a unique power when viewed as one. Terrell wrote the plays as standalone pieces, which nonetheless share characters, settings, and themes. In the Red and Brown Water is perhaps best described as a theatrical poem, or a choreo poem, part story, part dance piece, part song. Terrell wrote the play in what he described as a dream state, jet-lagged with insomnia, etc. As the play is developed, we've fought to maintain its original and most authentic dramaturgy, more associative than linear, full of sudden leaps and shifts, as one does indeed find in dreams. The Brothers' Sighs was written with a more conscious clarity and focus while Terrell was still in school. He dug into his deep, emotional core, and from there fashioned a dazzlingly well-structured and intimate drama. For Marcus, or The Secret of Sweet, Terrell found inspiration not only in the real, personal stories from him and friends' experiences in hurricane-beleaguered New Orleans, but also in the fantastical, the great farces and dream plays of literature such as A Midsummer Night's Dream, or fairy tales and fables in which people travel into the woods and emerge somehow changed. The three plays don't line up in a neat, linear way. They're less in perfect chronology than they are in conversation with each other. They reflect on each other, echo, contradict, remind. They give a sense of time, time bending and passing through generations, a community, a culture. In strict chronological time, Red and Brown Water comes first, The Brothers' Sighs second, and Marcus third. Yet the plays can be experienced singly or in a different order. For Terrell is not telling a dry history of a community as much as he's inviting us to share in its experiences and dreams. Welcome. There's a kind of amorphous family that's born through the brother-sister plays. I've been blessed to be invited into this family by Terrell and to be given a home for it by artistic director Martha Levy and Steppenwolf. Now it is time to welcome you. You are the last and most important part of these plays, this community. As Italo Covino wrote, it is not the voice that commands the story, it is the ear. We need you, and we're glad you're here.
Collaboration and connection. Director Tina Landau and playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney discuss the brother-sister plays with Steppenwolf artistic director Martha Levy. I'm Simone Martin Newberry as Martha Levy.
I'm Suzanne Miller as Tina Landau.
I'm Tim McCarthy as Terrell Alvin McCraney.
Tina, this is just one of many collaborations between you and Terrell. You've remarked in the past that the two of you came from really different backgrounds and traveled a long way to find each other. How would you describe your own beginning in theater?
My parents were film producers, and we lived in New York. I grew up in what would be called a showbiz environment. I spent time on movie sets, and I met famous actor types. We went to the theater constantly, and I grew up going to Broadway musicals in particular. Terrell has talked about when he first saw a Broadway play or musical was in his very adult life. The thing that was amazing to me was that I have always taken it for granted that Terrell and I so deeply share a set of values about the theater and our intentions in the theater. It never occurred to me until then to query how disparate our backgrounds were and how they possibly could have led to such similar territory in this moment.
How would you describe the values that the two of you hold in common about the theater?
When I saw Chuck Mee's Iphigenia that Tina directed at the Signature Theater Company, I thought about how Tina synthesizes the thing that's so important, taking the old and the new and making something else. I just remember in the show, those men standing up on that stage doing a dance, and of course you had choreographed it with them, so it wasn't like you had African choreographer come in, but I thought, I wish you could see this hip-hop African piece called Scratch and Burn. The choreography was almost exactly the same.
We've both been working for a really long time in our own work individually, not to juxtapose the old and the new, but to actually discover and give life to how they're one and the same. It's an aspect of our interests that I think are really parallel. We're both very interested in and committed to telling stories either from perspectives or about people who have been less represented on the American stage up to now. In the most general terms, one could call that the outsider. In terms of Terrell's work, that is the African-American community, and very specifically, the African-American community of the less privileged projects around this country, and particularly the South.
Significantly, the three plays that we are doing are also from a gay perspective.
Yes, absolutely. Certainly, one thing that Terrell and I have in common is that we're both gay. But in addition to both of those things, I would say we share an interest in the form and the modes of storytelling in the theater. We are both really interested in the theater as a place where something singular happens between a particular audience and cast on a particular night, and ways to juice that, exploit that, and make that the magical core of the experience for all the participants.
Who do you both regard as theatrical mentors?
I have this really odd split personality, which involves, on the one hand, people like Bob Fosse, Jerome Robbins, Michael Bennett, and Hal Prince, i.e. the American musical staging masters, who, of course, I never met, so they weren't really mentors. On the other hand, there's Anne Bogart, Robert Wilson, Meredith Monk, and Pina Bausch, who are icons to me of the avant-garde performance world of theater and dance. I really feel my life has been a journey, first to try and reconcile those two things, and then ultimately to recognize how they're actually part of the same thing and how they can live in happiness together. I really feel I've learned the most from artists I've worked with. Just as Terrell might speak about Peter Brook or August Wilson, both of whom he's been in the room with, for me, it's been people like Anne Bogart, Chuck Mee, and Adam Gutel, peers and collaborators who I have just been inspired by.
How about you, Terrell?
I talk about Alvin Ailey all the time, you know. I've never met Alvin Ailey, but I've seen almost all of his work. If you watch the trio in Revelations, it is exactly brother size. It is exactly three men trying to find a place to hide, trying to find a place to run to. It is rhythmic, it's infective, it's athletic. It is full of sorrow and fear, and I've never been in the room with him at all. I have been in the room with August Wilson, but I can't say that I've learned more from that trio about how to stage theater than I did from August. With August, I learned much more about how to talk to people and how to be generous with stories and how to listen and what to be inspired by, which is no small feat.
You know what the marvelous thing is? That there are people who have never met either of you, but for whom you, as artists, will be their inspiration. There's no question in my mind.
As we both fall silent.
Yeah, I'm like, really?
It's a combination of really and no, Martha, and kind of like, huh, is that possible?
The two of you have put up these plays in many different theaters over the past few years. What has marked each production as unique for you?
Just from my personal experience, having Steppenwolf as a home, I could absolutely not be where I am at with my own work without the constancy of Steppenwolf. Directing In the Red and Brown Water at Steppenwolf will be my fourth version of that production. And I was thinking as we were opening at the Public Theater in October, oh my gosh, this is what happens when you get to work on a play for months at a time over a couple of years. I've been able to enter Red and Brown with a level of understanding and detail that I just never experienced. I feel having done The Tempest at Steppenwolf, okay, that was my workshop production. I felt like I just began to get that play, and I would want to do it again and incorporate what I've actually learned.
Tina and I talk about this a lot, this notion of a standing company to collaborate with. Usually, you get in the room with each other and you find, oh, this is the place that we want to go. And then your 2 weeks are up, and you have to go do something else. It's the most frustrating thing in the world because you have just started to scratch the surface of what it is and where it is you want to go. It's great to have places like Steppenwolf that say, yes, we do want to go in that direction. What else can we do to mine that?
You know, Martha, you've commented before about how much you can look at my work and say, oh, you've done these kinds of things all over. I do experience my own work as part of one giant endeavor. Obviously, you can feel that in Terrell's plays. I just feel like every time you return to anything, whether it's the theater or an ensemble like Steppenwolf, or Terrell, who was developing his own kind of satellite of actors who do his plays and know his work, it really makes a difference in how far you can take it.
Both of you are very generous to your audience. That desire to communicate, I have always felt, is the center core of your work.
The other day I had to give a talk at Columbia, and one of the questions was, who do you make art for? As an artist, do you go into a room and follow your impulses and say either they'll get it or they won't? I've gone through stages of feeling like I had to do that, but mostly I feel the only thing that matters to me is that we communicate with a group of people. I think of the E.M. Forster quote, connect, only connect. And that, to me, is the only reason to do what we're doing. All in the Family. Ensemble members Alana Arenas, K. Todd Freeman, and Aura Jones reflect on the brother-sister plays with Director of Artistic Development Polly Carl. I'm Suzanne Miller as Polly Carl.
I'm Simone Martin Newberry as Alana Arenas.
I'm Tim McCarthy as K. Todd Freeman.
I'm Whitney Debo as Aura Jones.
What was your first impression when you read these plays?
I loved the people, the familiarity of knowing that experience. There were many characters who were way older than me, and I just wanted to say their lines because I know those women. I come from humble beginnings, and so does Terrell. And what I love is that he actually uses the word projects in one of the plays. Three-dimensional people from the projects do not often walk up on American stages.
For me, it was familiarity. I read these plays, and like Alana, I knew these people. I knew these people all day, and I knew it was a Southern thing. I've never seen these people on stage in America before, and that's what I thought was so phenomenal. That and the poetry of it. You know, sometimes these women do say things exactly as he put it out. It's so honest and so real what we think it's poetry.
Honestly, I was a little concerned with In the Red and Brown Water. As an African-American woman, I've become very frustrated with our succeeding generations of women who destroy themselves. I think it's very important to me these days to know that young people have a way to express themselves that does not include weapons. That they have a way to talk about anger and fear and loneliness and sadness, and in this young woman's case, unrequited love. There is a way to express those things without destroying yourself. So I have to say that it took me a minute to find something hopeful in that story. But in the end, that's the whole point of doing theater. Just because I have a particular reaction to something doesn't mean that there isn't anything else to consider.
There's so much weight in how we represent any community that we feel has been underrepresented for any reason. How do you, as an actor of color, feel about how Black characters are represented on the stage?
I think it's about underrepresentation. There are so few representations of Black characters that aren't the drug dealer or the rapper or else like the Huxtables from The Cosby Show. It's either one or the other. If there were more in the middle, then it would not be an issue. For me, Terrell's work covers a spectrum of types of people.
As long as a play is about a person and not a caricature, I think that it's necessary.
Sometimes there is some frustration that every story that gets told, if it's specifically about African Americans, is heavy. It's weighted, everybody's in pain, everybody is moaning about the ancestors, and nobody is creating their history and ancestry here. I'm not saying that it's not important. Our history as Africans in America is in many ways a very painful one, a humiliating one, a frustrating one, but we're here now. Not everything I do in this life has something to do with me being an African American. That does not mean that I'm trying to dismiss race. It just means it's not everything I am.
Terrell mentions in an interview about trying to find a delicate happiness that could exist next to the pressing tragedy of kith and kin. I love that notion of a delicate happiness through all these family tragedies, the difficulties which are universal. Could you talk about family in these plays?
I grew up in a culture of understanding that, as dysfunctional as it can be, sometimes family is all you have. Coming from a community populated by people who are lower class, with middle class aspirations, you see things like so-and-so's parents is addicted to something, and so their aunt is raising them. Coming from a community where stuff like that is normal, where the family might not be the traditional family, I feel like I intuitively understand Oya's decision that I will put my track career on hold to take care of her mother.
People sacrifice for their loved ones. I think it is enormous that this young woman would give up her track career for her mother. People give up one kind of career for another. They stay at home, and especially these days, good Lord, you know the economy being what it is, children are moving back in with their parents. Grandparents are raising their grandchildren. Parents are moving in with their own children. People who want to go to work in offices are working from home so they can be near people who are sick. There's so much more sacrifice that's happening now that I think this story goes a long way towards that. No matter what your family is doing, no matter how bad you think a family member is behaving, they're still your family.
One of the ways I think Terrell creates intimacy for me as an audience member is by having the actors read their own stage directions. Can you just reflect on that a little? What impact does that have on you finding your character?
What I love is that it's a connection between the actor and the audience, and the actor sending a head nod to the person that you're feeling my experience. What makes it fuller is that when you see a character and you know what they're thinking and they have to do something against that, it's almost like the audience is in on an inside joke.
It's unique to these plays. If you can get it, then the impact is wonderful because the anticipation has been set. It gives the audience an opportunity to be in on something right before it happens. The character may not know what's going to happen, but the audience knows. I think it piques their interest.
The other thing about these plays is that time feels particularly elusive. Can you give me any insight into time and where you feel you are locating yourself as actors?
I know these plays span some years, although that's not defined specifically in what Terrell's written. So I'm still dealing with that question. So I agree with you. They do seem timeless, especially in The Red and Brown Water. Sometimes I feel like it could be the 40s or the 50s. It could just be anywhere, at any time. And then the modern things come out. And then I think, okay, then it's now or yesterday.
I think that when In the Red and Brown Water starts out, it feels older to me, and then the more you get into the play, it feels more and more modern.
Within the plays, it is clear that time is passing, and the next year comes, and she doesn't get the scholarship, and the chance is done. But in the way that he writes, and with the music he involves there, seems to be no time passing. It's just an experience, and it's done. And oh, time passed as an afterthought.
Like all of a sudden you're in a different place and you're not sure how you got there.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter. It's a Pollock painting. It's just a bunch of things thrown up there. And you get the experience and the story has been told in the meantime. It's always and it's now. It was always existing. It always is. This moment has been here forever.
Time, for all of us, is where we are that moment. How many times in a day do you find yourself thinking about something that you believe is going to happen and what you think is good or bad about your future? Or being lost in thought over something that may have happened 20 years ago, but it feels like it's happening right now. That is the nature of time in our lives in general, and in a piece like this, it has a lot to do with all kinds of aspects of the African-American experience, the notion of ancestry and time, and how far back you go in your history to be able to move forward.
This is Steppenwolf's season that centers around the theme of belief and how we authenticate our lives. How does this play resonate with your core beliefs?
I can say that the center of my core beliefs is the importance of love. In all of these plays, I just feel like everybody is desperately, delicately trying to hold on to some aspect of love. What becomes very tender are the things that people do to negotiate their portion of love, like the idea of Oya knowing that she can't have a child, but still has a desire to give something, of Ogun reaching out to Oya, of Ogun doing everything he can for his brother. The beautiful thing about these plays is that oftentimes I feel like there is a real lack of people really talking about the way that Black people love and showing the fact that we love one another.
I do believe that we're all the same, and it's so cliched and so trite, that phrase, but I think it's what you can call a core belief of mine. I've never thought that we were all such disparate people, and I guess that's one thing that gets me cranky, and I get really cranky, is that everyone is working so hard to plant their feet into the earth to claim, "This is me. Don't fuck with me. Stop trying to draw attention to how different we are. Let's draw attention to how similar we are. And then it can work better." That is something I can really believe in.